Turn with me, if you would, this morning to Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. Gospel according to Mark, chapter 14. We wish to look at the words that we have in verse 32. They came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, "Sit ye here while I shall pray," and so on. We want to look particularly at the words that we have in verse 32, and they came to a place which was called Gethsemane. They came to a place which was called Gethsemane. In Matthew's Gospel, we discover that in chapter 26 and verse 36, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane." We've been going through Mark's Gospel over many years. We just come back to it. I don't want to tire anyone with a prolonged series. And therefore, we go and we come back to it. And the last time I think we were in this portion of Scripture, we were looking at how Peter denied the Lord. But today we're taken to a place called, which was named Gethsemane. It's a dark place. In fact, I, in giving a title, if you like, to this sermon, would call it The Dark Place. The Dark Place. And I want to, first of all, today, put this in its setting. Put this dark place into its setting. Then I want to do three things. We want to see how Jesus led them there. Secondly, Jesus was with them there. And thirdly, Jesus took them out of there. Jesus led them there. Jesus was with them there. And Jesus takes them out of there. The dark place. Let us first of all put this into its setting. Jesus leaves the upper room. The disciples have been with Jesus in that upper room. And they must have realized, even before they were got to Gethsemane, that something unique was taking place. The meal that they had in the upper room, when they had the Passover, as it was before, even there it must have seemed to them, they must have known that there was something absolutely unique about what was going on here. Then the Lord Jesus tells them that one of them would betray him. And they ask who it is that would betray him. They are in consternation. Who would betray him? Is it I? And Jesus reveals to them that it is Judas Iscariot, the one who puts the salt in the gravy, as it were, one who reaches forth at the same time as I do. He is the one that will betray me. And Judas goes off. That in itself must have been a great shock, must have troubled the disciples very, very much, that one of their own would betray the Lord. But it doesn't stop there. Doesn't stop there. The Lord then, after the Passover, institutes another supper. And he takes bread and he said, this is my body which is broken for you. And he takes wine and said, this is my blood that is shed for you. And he speaks about how he is going to suffer and die. And their hearts troubled. Jesus says to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. You believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." They are troubled. This is a very unique occasion, and this is an occasion that disturbs their minds very much, because the Lord then goes on to tell them that not only would one of them betray him and that he would be away, he goes, but every single one of them would deny him. they would deny him that night. Of course, they deny this. They say, Peter says, I would suffer, I would die with you, I would lay down my life for you. You see, this is a time when they are now greatly troubled. They leave that upper room and they make their way down to a garden of Gethsemane, the Mount of Olives. It's to the east of Jerusalem. And if you remember, in the book of Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel sees the east of Jerusalem, the east of the tabernacle, the east of the place where the high priest was. Out of the east, the prince would come from there. The east gate, only the king could use the east gate. Going out the east of Jerusalem, out of the temple, the temple gate, the east gate. Only the king, only the prince could use that gate. And now the Lord Jesus Christ goes out to a garden on the east. And I've never been to Jerusalem, I've never been to Israel, but they tell you the Garden of Gethsemane is a beautiful place. It's a lovely place. It's a garden. Gethsemane itself is the olive press. It's wonderful beauty in a garden, isn't it? But they don't see that beauty because it's in the middle of the night. And they're now down in this garden. And the Lord tells them to remain there and takes three of his inner circle with him further on. And there is a time that their mind is in trouble. They're tired. They're physically tired. They're spiritually tired. They're out in the middle of the night where the Lord Jesus is, and everything seems black. It's a dark place. And it doesn't matter that they're in a garden that has great beauty. Here is a dark place. My friend, the Lord will take his people into a dark place. Because that's the first thing we want to notice. Jesus led them there. That's just putting the setting. That's just where they are. Here's a garden that's full of beauty, but there's something going on in here that's disturbing these disciples, that's going to take place, that's unique in history, but it's a dark place for these disciples. We often come into the Garden of Gethsemane, and we rightly look at the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about, isn't it? It's all about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, thy will be done. And we look at all the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, and that's right that we should do that. But let us also remember that this is a dark place for these disciples. And the first thing we will notice about it is that Jesus led them there. Just because they were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ didn't mean to say that they wouldn't be taken into difficult places or that they wouldn't even be taken into dark places. The idea that if you're a Christian, everything is fine. You're a Christian. And there was nothing that will disturb you. You will go on in peace. You will have health. You will have wealth. You will all the rest of it. The experience of these disciples and the experience of the Apostle Paul later on denies all of that. The Lord led them into this place. Think of how often the Lord led his disciples into difficult situations. There was one time when they were out, these are experienced fishermen, they were out in a boat and Jesus was with them, but he was asleep. He was sleeping in the boat. And there was a storm. There they were, following the Lord in a boat, and a storm came that even these experienced fishermen were frightened of. They thought Jesus didn't care. He's asleep in the boat. Does he not care that the peril that these disciples are now in? Jesus awakens and stills the storm. They were there in a storm, even as they were following the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another time when they were out on a boat. Jesus had sent them over to the other side, and again a storm arose. This time he's not in the boat with them. But they're doing what the Lord has commanded them to do. They're the Lord's disciples, and there they are out in a boat again. And yet again, there is another storm. Rises up again. Jesus sees them and comes to them walking on the water. And he invites Peter to come out of the boat and to walk towards him. As he begins to walk, he begins to sink because he's taking his eyes off Jesus Christ. Troubles. The troubles that afflict the just. Well, so it is here that the Lord, even today, will bring his people down into a dark place. Gethsemane is nothing in comparison to the troubles that they have when they're out in a boat. These are temporal troubles, but now they're in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there is nothing to compare with what they are now going through in this dark place. You see, the Lord, when he begins to deal with a sinner, very often brings them into a dark place. When the Lord brings conviction of sin into the life of a sinner, not always, but very often he will take that sinner into a dark place. You can be surrounded with all the beauty in the world, and it means nothing. You can be surrounded with all the pleasures of the world, and they mean nothing. You can have all the silver and gold in the world, and they mean nothing, because you are brought down into spiritual darkness, a dark place. The Lord will sometimes, we often try to make out as though every single believer's experience is the same as everybody else's. No. Not everybody will go through that. But there are those who go through these spiritual times when they are being brought under conviction of sin. And it wasn't just some of the disciples here. We're shown that Peter, James, and John, the strongest of all the disciples, the closest to the Lord Jesus Christ, there they were in the garden as well. It was happening to them. My friend, the Lord can bring his own people, God's people, down into a dark place. You can be a Christian, and the Lord will take you into the dark place. But the second thing in that is that there is a comfort, even in it all. Because it's not just that the Lord led them there. The second thing that we notice is that the Lord was with them in that dark place. The Lord was with them. What a comfort it must have surely been that this wasn't just one disciple that was in the Garden of Gethsemane. If you had Peter there, or John, or Andrew, one disciple on his own there, how that would have been even worse for them. But you had all the disciples there, with the exception of Judas. You had 11 there in the garden with the Lord Jesus, three of them taken closer to him than the others, but still they were all there. And what a comfort it must have been for the eight that were left slightly further back, that they had brethren with them. And for Peter, James, and John, who were closer, it wasn't just Peter or James, it was the three of them together. It must have been, I believe, it must have been a comfort to have known that they weren't alone, that there were others of their brethren that were with them at that time, and they were going through the same thing. And that's true today, isn't it? God's people, the Lord's people, go through many experiences. And a lot of these experiences are common to a lot of God's people. They don't go through it alone. When I was in, before I went into the ministry, at our communion seasons, we had what you called the Friday question meeting. And at the Friday question meeting, a text would be put out. The minister would open the text, and then brethren would be asked to speak to the text. Largely, it was older, more experienced Christians that would be asked. You would maybe ask six or seven. There would be young one minister, one Christian, young Christian, but it was mostly older Christians that were being asked to equate their experience. What was that all about? It was to show to the younger Christians that the things that they were perhaps going through, that these older Christians had been there before, that they weren't unique. They weren't the only ones that would go through these difficult times, trying, whatever it may be. They weren't alone. Older Christians had experienced the same thing, or some of them, different people experiencing different things. But it was to be an encouragement to show that what perhaps you are going through, others have gone through as well. These disciples were all in the Garden of Gethsemane together. But the greatest encouragement of all wasn't that other disciples were there. The greatest encouragement of all is that Jesus Christ himself was with them. Jesus himself was going through more than they were ever going through in that garden. He was there with them. You know, he takes the three disciples nearer to him, and the eight other disciples are a bit further back from him. But my friend, he can see them all. He's not, I don't believe, gone so far away from the eight as that he doesn't see them and watch over them. There are three that are closer to him, and that's always the case, isn't it? There are Christians who are closer to the Lord than others. But the Lord is still watching over the eight as much as he's watching over the three. He is there with them in the midst of their trouble. And, you know, he knew exactly what they were going through. He knew exactly their heart and their trouble. It was Jesus that said to them, you get that recorded in John's Gospel, "Let not your heart be troubled." There is nothing to indicate there that Jesus had been told that their heart was troubled. They didn't say to him, "Our hearts are troubled." He knew their heart. He knew exactly what they were going through. He knew exactly the troubles that they were encountering. And he said to them, "Let not your heart be troubled." My friend, what's true of the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane is true of the Lord's people today. The Lord Jesus says to his disciples, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel." He says to the church, "I will be with you whithersoever thou goest. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." And it doesn't matter what trial or tribulation that you may suffer in this world. It doesn't matter what dark place you may go into. The Lord has been there before you. He knows what it's like. He knew what it was to be in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples, suffering more than they were, knowing the darkness of the place better than they did. He knew what it was then to go and to die at Calvary's cross. My friend, when you go through the biggest and the greatest trial that you will ever go through, perhaps in your life, the darkness of death itself, Jesus has been there before you. He says, I will be with you as you go through the waters. I will be with you as you pass through the valley of the shadow of death. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. And he prays for them. They've ceased praying for themselves. They've fallen asleep. It wasn't that they weren't willing. They were willing. Jesus even acknowledges how willing they were. And yet they fell far short because they fell asleep. But Jesus never fell asleep. He was with them in that dark place and he was praying. And he continued to pray. You know, when you go through your dark time, if you're brought down into the dark place, you can become so weak. You can become so tired. And you fall asleep. But Jesus, as the psalmist says, in Psalm 121, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. He comes today not as he was with the disciples in the garden, in his human flesh. If all we have is a Savior in human flesh, then we have problems. But you think of the person who is now in glory, the divine person in our nature, our high priest who is able to succor all those by his spirit and by his word. He it is that is able to pray for his people. He it is that knows exactly what it is that they need as he ever lives to make intercession for them. You don't pray for yourself. The Lord prays for you. You don't pray for one another. The Lord prays for them. His prayers are always answered. His prayers are always effective. And that is what makes the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the midst of the Garden of Gethsemane. He took them there, but he was with them there. And that brings us to the third thing. He takes them out of there. He takes them out of there. Judas went down to a field. He didn't go to a garden like this. He went to a field. And he had nobody. The Lord was not there with him. And destruction was brought upon him. But these disciples were in the midst of this garden. The Lord had taken them there. The Lord was with them there. And he it is that will now take them out of there. He it is that will take them out of there. Why was it that all this was so dark to these disciples? Was it because they didn't have any faith? My friend, Peter had faith. His faith did not fail at any time. His faith didn't fail. Why did it not fail? Because the Lord prayed for him. That thy faith fail not. His faith never failed. Perhaps it was his courage. Perhaps he was a man that wasn't courageous for the Lord. Perhaps when he said that he would die, I will die for thee, perhaps he really didn't mean that. My friend, he did mean that. You think of when they come in to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. You see it in verse 46. They laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear, Marcus. And that was Peter that did that. John tells us Peter did that. Now you have to have some courage, not just to cut off the ear of a soldier, not just to cut off the ear of someone who's a servant, but we're specifically told it was the servant of the high priest. Peter's a courageous man. Peter would take up the sword and cut off the ear of this man. He would defend the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're going to cut off someone's ear, make sure it's not the ear of the servant of the high priest, because if you do that, you are in serious trouble. Not just anybody you're tackling here. Peter tackled the servant of the high priest. But yet later on, there he is with a young girl beside the fire, and he denies the Lord. What's wrong here? What is there that's wrong here with Peter? What is it that's wrong with these disciples? Well, I think when you think about it, there's total confusion in the mind of Peter. He's willing to stand and take up a sword to defend the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Lord Jesus Christ disarms him and says, put down your sword. I must go by the cross. Now, then he's arrested, taken away. He's tried. And there's Peter, totally confused. What's he going to do? Why is he confused? Because he hasn't been listening to what the Lord Jesus Christ has told him. Jesus has told him that he has to suffer and that he has to die. But through that death, he will rise again triumphant over death and the grave. He's confused. He doesn't listen. And he's not understanding the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, that's what confusion very often will do with us. What is the answer when we're in the dark place? Is to come back to the words of the Lord Jesus. He will take us out of there. He defended these disciples. Take me, let them go. There's a picture there of how Christ will deliver his people. Take me, I am the Christ. I'm the one that you want, but let these, my brethren, go free. And they go free. And he comes and suffers and dies on the cross. Peter has been completely disarmed. He's disarmed. From one who would take up a sword and defend the Lord, he's now completely disarmed because of what Jesus himself is doing. He doesn't know. He's confused. You see, what he needs to do is to be brought back to the beach, where Jesus comes and makes him a breakfast, and then to simply submit and say, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest that. You see, when we're in the dark place, when we're in there, God has a purpose very often of taking his people in there. I think often of Jacob and Peniel. Jacob and Peniel was taken down into, Jacob was taken into Peniel. There he was in the darkness of the night again. In the darkness of the night. Ultimately, he had to lay hold upon the angel and not let thee go. I will not let thee go. The angel touched his very side, so that Jacob limped out of there. He now had a limp. The angel had touched him. He wouldn't walk again, walking out of there the way he did walking in. He had the mark of the angel upon him. And as he left there, the sun began to shine upon him. He had been blessed in that dark place. He was shown his own weakness, and he was shown the glory of the Lord. Peter is delivered out of Gethsemane when the Lord blesses him, and he shows him the glory even of the dark place. that even the dark place becomes a blessing to him. He's learned out of it. And you know, sometimes we have to be disarmed, don't we, of all our own thoughts. We might be hard on Peter and say, that, well, Peter should have been listening to the Lord. My friend, how often do you listen to the Lord? How often do I listen to the Lord? Have you ever found that, you know, you read through someone or someone reads through or you someone says something, you say, well, I never thought that before. I never thought that before. And there it is. It's so obvious, but I never saw it. Peter had been told by the Lord that he would suffer, that he had to die. He was even shown it in symbolic form at the Lord's Supper. Yet he was still blind to it until the Lord brought him through the dark place, brought him out the other side. And after it, he saw more of the glory of Christ than he had ever done before. May it be that if we are brought into the dark place, may the Lord bless us. May it be that if you're brought into the dark place through the conviction of sin, remember one man, and he was brought through a very dark time of conviction of sin. But the Lord was there. The Lord was in it. And the Lord delivered him out of it. May it be that if you are one of God's people and you're brought into the dark place, may we arise and let us go hence, following the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he's been in the dark place with us. He will lead us there. He will be with us there. And ultimately, he will take us out of there and bless us. Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray.